Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Father, we love you, we bless you, and it is a joy to serve you, and it's a joy that you are, to know you as Almighty God. You are Almighty God, and we're walking before you. We thank you that we are blameless because you are Almighty God, because you have made us blameless. So, Father, we walk in your goodness, we walk in your grace. Thank you for all the promises. Everything we're doing here right now, this act of obedience to you, it is loaded with promise. It is loaded with covenant blessing. And so, Father, I command the reality. I thank you, Lord, that doing your part, you said that you are faithful. So, Father, I know that you're going to do your part. So we loose your blessing. We loose the God part all over these acts of obedience. Hearts are here. Hearts are here. Devotion is here. So, Father, we thank you that you'll minister supernaturally to each and every person. Glorify yourself in and through them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We're having a good service today. Amen. Who's saying it was good? It was worth getting up for. All right. Praise the Lord. I do love this church. I do love coming to this church. It's such a blessing to serve. I'll tell you. So we're going to jump into some more of our Now series because how many want it now? I want it now. I tell you, God is a now God. God is a God who wants it now too. So we're going to talk about now mature. And I was going to say now grow, but that would be such a messy thing to do because that's one of the difficulties with religion is we're trying to continuously get people to grow up. But really what you need to do is you need to realize that you're grown up. You don't need to grow up. You need to get the revelation of the fact that you are a full-blown grown-up. Hello. And that's a lot of what church is we keep on, you know, come get another lesson to help you grow up. Well, here's the truth. You are grown up. Here's the truth. You are a mature son and daughter of God. It's done. You are. And the problem is religion gets us on a treadmill of trying to do what God has already done for us. And we keep on drinking from the mixture of this swamp of religion, and it will not produce good fruit. It'll only produce frustration and bondage and, yeah, I got to try harder. And religion does that to people. But you are mature, so we want to talk about now. Mature. Amen. How many know that you're mature? Turn to your neighbor and say, I speak that right now over you in faith. Hallelujah. You are mature. I mean, how many like to see things happen fast? How many like to see things happen fast? All right, let me give you a couple of examples of where you might like to see things fast. You ready? At the Tim Hortons drive-thru. Especially when there's like 20 cars. I always like it when they say, thank you, your order's at the window, drive through now. And I go, there's 10 cars in front of me. If I drive through, it'll be messy. And I, well, when it's your turn, it went, oh, okay then. I'd like to drive through, wouldn't you? I mean, man, it's like, what did that person order? Like, my goodness, did they order, like, biscuits for a crew of 70? What's going on up there? I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but I want it now, you know? Okay, you want it now. How many would like your internet service to be faster? I mean, I think of how fast it's getting and how quick it is, but I still want it faster. I still want it now. I don't like those when the little spinner comes up and I go, what is that? You know? Or you're listening online and it starts buffering. You're listening to Pastor Carl's eloquent sermon and all of a sudden it starts buffering. Has that ever happened to you at home? You know what? It never happens here. Oh, hold, there's some buffering. Never happens when I'm live, you know what I mean? So if you're staying home, you might get the buffering. But you know what? If you get too much buffering and you're watching something, if you're like me, you probably just go, skip that. I mean, I can hardly take it. You know what I mean? If it's going to buffer like that, I can't do this anymore. But we want it now, don't we? You order a pizza. When do you want it? Yesterday's even better. I want it now. All right, you're planning for your retirement. I've started thinking about that a little bit lately. No, just, but you know, you start thinking about, you know, I've worked all my life. I've been putting some money away in my savings, you know, and then I pull up my account and I can look at it online and I go, how fast is that growing? And I look at it and, you know, they spit back to me the interest rate I've been getting for the year. And I'm like, that's it. I want it faster. I want it more. How many, you know, want to see your savings grow faster? Yeah. Just three people. The rest, you're like, savings? What's a savings? You know? I'd like my debt to stop growing. Well, you need to come on Wednesday nights and we'll talk about it. Debt cancellation and supernatural finance. Woo! Well, I want to talk to you today about now mature, and I want you to know that you are mature, and I want you to know that God matures you really fast. It happens really, really fast. You don't have to wait with God. He does things, bam. And I want you to understand that, because a lot of people get messed up, and this is the truth. I hope I can share properly today and get it in your spirit, all right? Because the Apostle Paul was very, very concerned about this as well. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? For whose eyes before you, whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you, was crucified?" He's saying, I came and I preached you a gospel. I preached you the finished work of Christ's gospel. I preached you the grace of the kingdom gospel. I preached you that everything that you desire to be and want to be, that you get it now through Christ Jesus. I mean, I showed that to you. I laid it out clearly, and that's the message you got. Now, this is what I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing in faith? Are you so foolish now, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now trying to be made perfect or made mature or made whole or made complete by the flesh? See, here's a group of people. He says, I came and I declared you. Here's good news. You're perfect. Here's good news. You're mature. Here's good news. You are complete. Here's good news. You have been totally born again. You are a mature son and daughter of God because of the finished work of the cross. Woohoo! And then a whole bunch of people came in behind him and said, yeah, Paul's teachings are good, but you still got to do the law. We still got to get circumcised. You still got to observe those holy days. You still got to watch this. You still got to. And you know what that is? That is mixture, and that is the law, and that is the stuff that the Apostle Paul said, who manifest and cursed you and hexed you and practiced witchcraft on you by trying to get you to move maturity through jumping through a bunch of dead old hoops. Now, the Apostle Paul was really concerned about this. That's really strong language when he says, you foolish Galatians, who hexed you, is another translation, who performed witchcraft on you and took you from the simplicity of a gospel where you are complete in Christ to now a whole bunch of do-do-do. Do-do. When I came and told you done. Now somebody made you jump into some do-do. The message, I love the way the message lays it out. It says, you crazy Galatians, did someone put a hex on you? Have you taken leave of your senses? Something crazy has happened, for it's obvious that you no longer have the crucified Christ in clear focus in your lives. His sacrifice on the cross was certainly set before you as in clearly enough. Let me put this question to you. How did your new life begin? Was it by working your heads off to please God, or was it by responding to God's message to you? Are you going to continue this craziness? For only crazy people would think that you could complete this now by your own efforts, what was begun by God. You crazy people! Well, I'm trying to get more like Jesus. You are like Jesus. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of his righteousness. You are righteous right now, and it's the gift of God. If you're trying to do it any other way, you've nullified the gospel of its grace, and you don't have true faith in God. Look at Galatians 4, 19 and 20. The whole book of Galatians is written from a prison to this church that he began because he's concerned about them because someone is coming in and messing with your faith. Galatians 4, 19 and 20 says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and change my tone. I'd like to change. I know I just called you crazy. I know I just said, what are you, foolish? I'd like to be with you and change my tone, but I am concerned about you. He said, I am concerned about you. He literally said, I have doubts about you. He is concerned that deceivers have come in and they've deceived them. And the teachers of the law have come in and got them on a treadmill of outer works and outer performance to try to earn the favor and the blessing of God. You can't do it. It is the gift of God. That is the only way you'll walk in it. Maturity is not through your effort. You can have disciplines you can add to your life, and you can have some things like your Bible reading, your prayer, all those things, but they don't make you mature. Those are disciplines and things you need to do, but being mature in Christ is established by the finished work of the cross. All right, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Galatians 4, 1-7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Listen. Now I say, the heir, as long as he is a child, as long as he is an infant, as long as he is, nepios. I should have wrote that down. But as long as you are a child, and that there's a clear Greek word for infant or a babe, he does not differ from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, that word elements is the word stoihaion, and that literally means the first things, the ABCs, the law. He says, when we were under that, we were infants. When we were under that, it says we were subject to these things. He said, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. This is not napios, but this is now huios. So huios is mature sons. And it says, God has sent forth the son, the spirit of his son, now into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, not Holy Father who is above, but Abba, Father, Daddy God, intimate Father, the one I know and love, the one I am closely acquainted with and have complete knowledge of, that one, Abba. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. So you see these words, child, you see the word sons, and you see the word the elements. You see, if you're going to continue to operate under those elements, and if you continue to say that I'm going to work out my maturity, and I'm going to work out the rest of my salvation based on that, he says, then you are literally leaving the privileges of sonship, and you are establishing yourself in the realm of slavery. Maturity is going to come to mature sons. Now go on down to Galatians chapter 4, 21. How many follow along in your Bible? Your Bible's a good thing. All right? It's hard. I'd love to preach all the Galatians, but it would take a long time. But look now, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, and this is what he's doing, he's coming. The whole purpose of this letter is there's people who've tried to deceive you. There's people who are trying to take you backward in the revelation of who you are as sons and daughters of God. And I want to eliminate that, and I want to properly align you with the truth, because you'll never live it out if you're not operating as sons. So he says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? So if you want to be under the law, then let me teach you from the law. Let me show you grace from the law. Let me show you the finish the work of the cross from the law. Then, because the law that you're trying to put us under declares our freedom. It says, so then let me teach you from the law. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was according to the flesh. That means that Abraham tried to make the promise of God happen himself. How many have ever tried to make maturity happen yourself? That's the bondwoman. That's slavery. That's bondage. That's flesh. He says, was of the bondwoman. The other was the free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which these things are symbolic. Now, Galatians is where? It's in the... Say it with me, New Testament, right? These are texts that are written after the cross, except the Gospels. The Gospels were before the cross. And even if you read the Gospels, you have to read the Gospels carefully, understanding some of the things said there are under a law mindset. Everything has to come through the covenantal filter of the cross. Now we come through the cross, and we are hearing on the other side of the cross, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, Paul is taking things and symbols and types in the old covenant, and he is interpreting for us in the new covenant what it means. So it's no longer a shadow. It's no longer, I wonder what that was. It's no longer a mystery. But Paul is giving us revelation about now. He's giving us revelation about our maturity today by unpacking Old Testament stories which manifest the nature of God for us. So the Old Testament is brilliant as long as you're reading it and seeing it through the covenantal filter of the cross. There's great revelation there and great truth there and things that will really release you and set you in the purposes of God. So he's now taking the old, and believe me, the only Bible Paul had did not have the New Testament in it. Why is that? It wasn't written yet. He was writing it right then. So when Paul went and preached, he was preaching from the old covenant. But he's preaching it through revelation of the Spirit, through the filter of the finished work of the cross. So he's able to see that, and he's now able to open his Bible and teach them from the Word with the living Word and the Holy Spirit inspiring him to bring that truth through the cross so you can walk in maturity. All right, so look what it says. Now, these were symbolic. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds with Jerusalem, which is now. These are symbolic. Hagar and Sarah, those two people who we read the story of those two people's lives back then, their story, their history was working out redemptive revelation. Everything about their lives is symbolic, and there are types there, and there are patterns that we can learn very, very significant things from. And he's saying, I'm trying to get you free of bondage. I'm trying to get you free of the law and performance. I want to get you into grace. Hagar was bondage. Hagar represented the law. Sarah represented grace. So, trying to get this straight and get it figured out. So the Jerusalem, which is now and is in bondage with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Listen to that. Which is the mother of us all. Who is the mother of us all? Sarah. Even as Abraham is the father of faith and the father of all those who walk by faith, literally Paul is saying Sarah is a representation of the grace of God. And you see, what the enemy wants to do is he constantly wants to separate Sarah from Abraham. Wants to separate grace from faith, because if you do that, it will not work. Even people who have a great faith revelation, if they don't have the revelation of grace, they can quickly slip into a works mentality. And this is very important for us to understand. And this is Paul. Paul is trying to teach them, here, I'll take the law. I'll take what you guys understand. I'll take what you guys are trying to teach. And from that place, I'll show you how messed up your behavior is. So he goes in here and he says, let's take Sarah, let's take Hagar, let's learn from them. And he says, Jerusalem, which is now. He says, but Jerusalem's from above. Now listen to this. This is real good prophecy. Ready? Which is the mother of us all, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout. Now you need to listen to this. For today, you need to listen to this. You who do not bear, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. That's a prophetic word. How does that relate today? God is going to bring many sons to glory. God, in these last days, the church isn't going to be some desolate little organization that slips out the back door unrecognized. The church is going to have many more sons. There's going to be more people in glory than there is in hell. There's going to be more people embracing freedom and a relationship with God than there are those that go to a lost eternity. God's going to win big. It may look small, it may look desolate, but I'll tell you this, the world is going to be flooded with the knowledge of the glory of God, and he's going to bring many sons to glory. That's the old covenant, being brought through the filter of the cross and shared in a proper context. I love it when the word interprets the word, then you don't have to send me emails. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. Hello. Now we, brethren, are like Isaac. What are we then? We're like Isaac. What is Isaac's name? Laughter. Ha, ha, ha. If we are like him, there should be a whole lot of joy in the house. Sons of God. We are like Isaac. But he was born according to the flesh, persecuted him. He was born according to the flesh, persecuted Isaac to pursue. The word persecuted means to pursue in a hostile manner. It doesn't mean just to mock and say a few bad things. It means I am mocking you and I'm saying things to you with the intent to harm you and injure you. Him who was born according to the flesh, persecuted him. Him according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Even so it is now. Even in the new covenant, you know, there's a persecution that comes from, where does it come from? It comes from lost people. No, it comes from religious people who want to obey the law. Where does the persecution come from today? You declare people your freedom, your completeness in Christ. They're telling you, you need to do more. You know, you need to do this. You need to observe days. You need to observe foods. You need to do all this. It's like that now. People, what are they doing? They're persecuting your freedom. Hello. This is in the Bible. I'm not picking on you. I'm just reading it. It's right there. Then they get you on this treadmill of performance. You never feel good because you when have I done enough? When have I done enough to be a son of God? You know what? He did enough. He did enough. He did enough. Well, you got to witness to 10 more people. I tell you, you better go out there and share your faith or you're going to hell. Now, if you don't share your faith with somebody, I tell you, God's going to whack you. And then when God comes, he'll say, yeah, their blood's on your hands. And oh, I'll witness. I'll go. I'll do it. Oh, my goodness. You should do it because you're in love with him. You should do it not... It should not be a conscious thing. Witnessing should be unconscious. I can't help it. I mean, people just see good in my life. And they say, take me to your leader. Because whatever's going on in your life, I want it. But you get those people in your face shouting, hey, you need Jesus. Have you got Jesus? Yes. Well, I'll pass. You see, having Jesus should be evident. It's not something I got to work up and perform. I tell you, it's God. It's Almighty God. It's His powerful Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, working inside of me. I tell you, if God's inside, He should show. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor. Glory to God. Look now, cast down. Now, look what it says. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? He's talking to them about the Old Testament. He's talking to them, preaching to the law keepers and all the doers. He's saying, okay, if you want to operate under the law, let me teach you something from the law and show you that with the law that you want to uphold, that law declares freedom. So he said, okay, look now. What then does the rest of the Scripture say? Does not the Scripture say, cast out the bondwoman and her son? For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Cast out those who want to prop up the law, those who teach bondage, those who teach performance-based religion, cast them out because grace and that bondage cannot manifest the maturity that is yours in your life. Oh, that was harsh, Pastor. How many were not even listening when I said that? I'll get the recording. Literally says, you know what? They can't cohabitate. They can't be together. Got to get rid of it. It says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So you must ask yourself right now, and maybe some of you had, if he's referring to the Scripture, where in the Old Testament is he teaching them from? How many asked that question? No, really, don't be afraid to put your hand up. You should have asked that question. You should have said, where is that? Because if you're studying the Word, you should have said, I want to find out where that is. I want to go back and study that myself. Well, I just trust you, Pastor. You said it was, so I'm good. You need to work that out. You need to see it. Look what it says. It says there that it was over there where in chapter 21 of Genesis. Chapter 21 of Genesis. Let me give you one little scripture that fits in before we go there. You ready? Hebrews chapter 5, 13 and 14. Hebrews is a fantastic gospel too. It's an epistle, not a gospel. But it's fantastic in the sense that he's speaking to a Hebrew mindset. He's speaking to that performance mindset, and he's trying to set them free from all these religious obligations and trying to show them it's all done in Jesus. The blood of Jesus even cleanses your conscience. I mean, it goes deep. It sets you free. But here's something it says in Hebrews, and we need to interpret milk and meat. We need to interpret them in the Old Covenant, New Covenant. We need to see how these things are used and their types and their usages. But it says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Everyone who partakes only in milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Oh, that's right, hallelujah, they don't know how to read their Bible. No, they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. They're unskilled in how righteousness is really realized. They don't have revelation on where righteousness comes from. It's not that they haven't memorized their Bible or know lots of scriptures. It's that they are unskilled in the word of, not the word of God, not the law, not the Torah, not the prophets, but they're unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now, if you're unskilled in the word of righteousness, you're unskilled where your righteousness comes from, you can easily be deceived. But you need to know, because mature people, what happened in Galatians, they were starting to be deceived from the simplicity of the truth of the gospel, and they were starting to have these people tell them, yeah, Jesus died for you and all that, but there's still the performance, still got to do the stuff, still got to do all the laws, got to do all the rules, got to do all that stuff. That's how we prove we love them. No. So it says here, milk, those who are unskilled in the word of righteousness is a babe, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, those who are mature. The Apostle Paul in Corinthians said, I'd love to come to you and speak about deeper things. The revelation he wanted to share with them was the knowledge of the glory of God. But he said, I can't share those things with you because you are stuck in this rotten performance mentality. And though I want to speak to you in a realm where your minds can be lifted up and you have the mind of Christ, I've got to speak to you as infants and lay these foundations again because you're ignorant of righteousness. How are you doing? You got all really quiet on me. Are you okay? Just grunt every once in a while. Let me know you're still alive. I was going to have a resurrection service there. All right, so, okay, never mind. My wife says, why do you do that? You're so needy. You know, you just need, I do, I need affirmation. It's my love language. Affirm me. Your pastor's love language is words of affirmation. Write that down. Send me an email. A nice one. All right, well, let's go there. Let's go to Genesis 21. Go to Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. She was Sarai, but she became Sarah. What happened? What did God do to Sarah? What did he do? Because she was a 90-year-old woman who could not have children. And I don't know how real good-looking she was at the time, but I know God visited her, and whatever happened, there was a real manifestation of God's power, because after her name was turned from Sarai to Sarah, a couple weeks later, the king of the region wanted her in his harem. I mean, no, you don't want somebody in your harem who's all droopy and saggy. I don't know what happened here, but I tell you, she had a visitation of grace that I tell you, the guy with the most power in the whole region said, who's she? Abraham's like, why are you asking? You see, the enemy was trying to separate grace from faith. And Abraham was too silly. He was too terrified at the time. He didn't know who he was, so he let her go. How stupid. Anyway, you know what happened to Sarah, that she became Sarah from Sarai? The fifth word of the alphabet got added to her name, and you know the letter of the alphabet that got removed? The tenth. What's the tenth? The Ten Commandments. The law. When Sarah got a revelation of grace and got delivered from the revelation of performance, she became fruitful. Settle down. I might get too happy. I might feel too affirmed. I might get a big head. I do have a big head. Not with you, honey. Thank God for you. Hallelujah. You are the anointed. You have the spiritual gift of pinpricking. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. I love her every day. Hallelujah. All right. Thank you. All right. And the Lord visited Sarah, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a child in old age, and set a time their God had spoken to him. And Abraham, at the set time, hallelujah, and Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boom, bang. Hey, okay. He was 100 years old. He was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear me will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse, would breastfeed children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. She had a baby who was on milk. Verse 8. So the child grew and was weaned. What do we mean by weaning? You're going off the milk onto solid food. Now, back in their culture, a child might be on milk for a long time. It wouldn't have been uncommon for a small child to run up to mom and say, feed me. Even the Bible college I went to, sometimes toddlers. Strange. Anyways, but this was not at all strange in their culture. Now, you see, suddenly the child became old enough to be weaned, and Abraham threw a party. He said, my son is being weaned off of milk. My son is on solid food. He is no longer an infant or a babe. He is my son. I'm going to put a special garment on him. I'm going to throw a wild party, and you're all invited. This is exactly where Paul is making reference to when he's speaking about maturity. He's speaking about being weaned, when you're weaned off of milk onto solid food, when you understand and get a revelation of maturity. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're mature. You are mature. So Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian. See, as the child grew, that same day he threw a feast when Isaac was weaned. On that same day, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, was scoffing. Remember back in Galatians now. In Galatians, he's saying, the woman who represented the law was Hagar. Hagar's son, Hagar, the offspring of the law, the offspring that the law produces, was persecuting the free child. Who are we? We are Isaac. We are not Ishmael. We are not of Hagar. But you see, those that preach the law, teach the law, want you to obey the law, they'll persecute us and say what they're preaching is goofy. I'll send you a bunch of emails that'll show you that they're crazy. They're still alive today. They're still around now, and they still send emails, write blogs, and silly books. But they're still persecuting the one thing that'll bring the church to its glorious stature in the last day, which is a clear revelation of your maturity in the finished work of the cross. The church will never be everything it's supposed to be if we continue to drink from the trough of mixture. We will never grow up. You must get rid of the bondwoman and her son. Get rid of the bondwoman. And Sarah saw this, and Sarah was like, that child is not just mocking and saying little jokes and games. That child has eyes on this child to kill him. That child has intent for dangerous things on our child. I want that kid and the mother out of here. Oh, she was just jealous, and she, you know, just didn't like that. And, you know, maybe Abraham showed a little more affection. No, listen. And Sarah said that, and therefore she said to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing to Abraham and in the sight, because it was a son. But God had a perspective on the whole situation. I'm not interested in yours, Bob, Fred's, or George. I'm interested in God's. God had a perspective on this. And God said to Abraham, do not let this be a silly little teaching that you use to teach on brokenness. We do funny things with old covenant teachings and turn them into weird stuff. Let the word interpret the word. Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of the woman. Whatever Sarah Grace has said to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. For in grace, in the finished work of the cross, in what is coming through your loins, this is how we're going to see the manifestation. Not through what you tried to pull together, not through the works of the flesh. And the Bible tells us in Galatians that Hagar represents the law that came at Mount Sinai. Who's got to get the bounce? The law. You get people trying to put that stuff on you, you are officially authorized by me to double dog drop kick them from the top rope for their own sake. And if they want to send me an email, that's fine. I've received several. These things happen. You can't be raised by mixture. You will never mature under mixture. Sarah has to be the only influence. Promise has to be the only influence. Grace has to be the only influence in your life. Let's go down. Let's go down to Genesis 21, 22, and 34. All right? And it came to pass at that time. When did it come to pass, Pastor? When did it come to pass, Pastor? What does at that time tell us? That this is relevant. This is something to do with what we've just talked about. Something is happening because of things that happened at that time. Something is going to be manifest in Abraham's life because he chose to listen to God and, God forbid, listen to his wife. Take the God forbid off. Sometimes you really need to listen to your wife. Her name is not Holy Spirit, but often the Holy Spirit will use her to speak to you. I know he does me. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, spoke to Abraham saying, God is with you in all that you do. Hold on. Come on. You could have missed that. Listen, at that time, Abimelech is not the guy's name. It's a title. He's the leader of the demonic principalities in the region. He's the head of the whole mess. When you get rid of the law and firmly fix yourself in the grace of God, he will then go. Look what he says. Look what happens. God is with you in all that you do. Two people got it. That's why Paul was saying, you're crazy, you're foolish. You're limiting your whole future. You're drinking from this swamp that we've been delivered from. I know, I used to preach it, I teach it, I know how it works, and it doesn't work. Don't be crazy, don't be foolish, don't go back there. Stick hard with freedom, because freedom will manifest victory in every aspect of your life. Stay fixed in the grace of God. Flesh loves performance, though. I like to check off my boxes. How many like checking off boxes? I had a hard time with this sermon. I said, now can I give them some boxes to check off when we're done? And I had seven of them. And he wouldn't let me put them in. He says, you love those boxes, Carl. Now you'll put boxes. Say, so now to manifest this, do this, do this, do this. He says, you preached a done, done word, and then you gave them a do-do list. I said, but it's good when you're mature. You do those things. I know, but they'll take it as the do-do list, and they'll miss what they really need to hear is just get in my face and say, Daddy, it's all mine. I had that conversation with him, and he won. But for those who need lists, I'll email it to you later. Because there's some of you, you know, some of those personality types who, what were the seven things? Who are you? I know you're here. Who are you? Who was like, what are the seven things I want, the list? All right, just put your hand up again right now. Jesus, deliver them now in the name. All right. Look, God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me. Now, listen, this is this guy coming. I want to make a deal with you because it's really obvious. He's probably figured out, probably even discerned in the spirit world. He was probably told, that guy's packing. You know that guy that you sent off and we stole some of his wealth? He's got the goods. Better go make a deal with him. So, he goes off and he makes the deal. He says, do not deal false with me, with your offspring, with my prosperity, but that according to your kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me in the land which we have dwelt in. And Abraham said to him, I will swear. Now, I love this, verse 25. I will swear. Now, suddenly, the guy who was giving away his wife a couple chapters later, to the same guy, without fear, is saying, okay, I'll swear to you and we'll make a deal. Now, he rebuked him. No more fear. Not afraid of any of this. I know who I am now. I'm a mature son of God. I know what I'm packing. I know where my righteousness comes from. Look what it says. It says, then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of the well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech. Abimelech. Anyway, And the two of them made a covenant, and Abraham sent seven ewe lambs, all fantastic typology, incredible stuff, of the flocks by themselves. And then Abimelech said to Abraham, he said, what is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you will take these seven, you will take them from my hand, that they may be witness that I have dug this well. Therefore he called the place Beersheba, because the two of them had sworn an oath. It's the place of the oath, the place they swore the oath. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. So Abimelech rose with Phicol and commander of his army, and they turned back to the land of the Philistines. Then Abraham, listen now, then Abraham in response to all this that is going on, I am getting favor now released in my life because I've aligned myself with the grace of God. I'm getting a release of boldness. I'm getting a release of strength. I'm getting all of these things manifest in my life. You know what he did then? He said, I made a covenant right here in this land. I made an oath right here. Now I'm going to plant a tree. Oh, who cares, Pastor? So what? He planted a tree. He planted a tree. Does represent the cross. He planted a tree right there. Because look what he says. He planted a tree, a tamarisk tree, in Beersheba. And there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The everlasting God. The promises for me, the promises to all of my heritage, the promises to my seed, all the way down through every single line. My seed shall inherit the land. My seed shall be people of promise. My seed will fill the earth with the glory of God. And because I trust you, because I'm confident to you in this wasteland and in this desert, I'm going to plant a tamarisk tree. Why a tamarisk tree? Because these trees flourish in harsh places. Why? Because these trees spread out. They spread out. They take over because these trees are full of seed like no other tree. And because these trees, wherever they are, they take over. What did he do prophetically? He embraced the truth. He embraced what God had spoken to him. He embraced his newfound confidence in God. And he said, I am taking ground not only for me and not only for today, but for generations to come. I am declaring that God is faithful and he will not fail you and he will manifest his everlasting grace in your life. Settle down. That's my love language. I might get carried away. When Abraham made the choice to remove the attempt to achieve righteousness through the flesh, he stepped into a new place of favor and blessing. He stepped into boldness. He stepped into freedom. He stepped in taking his inheritance. He stepped into a release of the covenants and promises of God in his life. Now listen, John 1, 16 and 17, and we're wrapping up right now. John 1, 16 and 17. And of the fullness, the completeness, the overflow, the liberality, the super duper goodness, the more than the enough of God, we have all received grace upon grace, gift upon gift, favor heaped upon favor. It never stops. It is going to continue to flow to you like the waves of the ocean. It will overwhelm every aspect of your life. We have all received of his fullness, grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace of a truth and grace of reality, grace for absolute sure. See, people think it's grace and truth. It is grace absolutely. It is grace truthfully. It is grace completely. It is grace fully and of a complete reality. He has given us that grace, and it came through performance. It came through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You are now mature. You're not waiting to arrive. You're not striving to arrive. You're not trying to arrive. You have arrived. Now, live out of that reality. Come on, stand up with me. I'm going to unpack a little more of that next week. I'm going to talk about repentance. I'm going to try and straighten that out a little bit. That's just got weird in the body of Christ. We'll try and straighten that out. And our friends Abraham and Sarah help us with that too, because we got a whole bunch of people. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repentance is one of the most beautiful words in the Bible. It's been turned into a bad word, a sad word. It's a wonderful word. But you know, today I want you to know, now mature. Say it to yourself, now mature. How many feel better about that right there? Should make you feel real good. I know it, and I love hearing it, but it makes me feel gooder every time. This is true. It's true. Now mature. Now bow your heads. Just everybody bow your heads, and all those now mature people, you're praying. You're praying right now. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. I don't know everyone here today. You're here. You might have come with a friend or wandered in, but I want to be very, very sure today that every one of you have the privilege of knowing Jesus like I do, knowing what it is to have a wonderful, glorious Savior. And I'm not asking you to join our church or be a part of this club or do anything. I'm just telling you that he's wonderful and he loves you. I'm just telling you that he's a great, great God, and your life will never be complete or full without a relationship with him. And if you don't know him today and you're here today, you say, I don't really know if I know Jesus. I might even done the church thing a little bit, but I don't know if I know him. And I don't know if I've let him know me. But he wants to know you today. And I can lead you to the understanding and knowledge of the Savior today. Simply pray with you. Because what's happening right now is, it says no one can come except I draw. And what you're feeling is that he's drawing you. And I want you to make that connection now with him. So I want to pray with you. But all I want you to do is just identify that that's you and you want prayer before we go. And the way you do that is just by putting up your hand and saying, would you pray for me before we go today? Are you ready? I'm not going to make it real easy. I'm actually going to tell you when to put up your hand. I'm going to count to three and say, put up your hand. All right? And you'll know it's you. It's you and other people who need to know him today. So you ready? Right now, you want to know him. I'm going to count to three. Put your hand up just so I can see it. Nobody else is looking. They're all praying. They're all seeking and searching their own hearts. I'm talking to you. You ready? One, two, three, right now. Just put up your hand. Put up your hand really high. Really high. Really high. So I can see. Jesus. Anyone else? Just put up your hand really high. So that's God touching your heart. Just put your hand up. Just show me. Say, Pastor, pray for me before you go. Pray for me. Yes. Jesus. Tell me something. I'm going to pray for one other group of people today. Maybe you're here today and say, I think I know him. I believe I know him. But I want to be a mature son. I want to step away from the slavery mindset. I want to step away from the limitation and performance mindset. And I really want his freedom and his boldness to come into my life. Where literally, the issues that confront me in my world, they'll come and make peace with me. I want to walk in that confidence. And I've not before. But what you said today, I want that revelation working in my life. If that's you, would you put up your hand right now and say, pray for me, Pastor, before we go? And else, just put up your hand. It's like an altar call, but I need more revelation on that. Thank you. 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 All right, put your hands down. Let's pray. You ready to pray? First of all, just everybody pray with me. Say, Father God, thank you for loving me. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I thank you today. My sins are forgiven. And I can confess, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. He dealt with sin. Ba-boom. Now let me pray for you. You may need to come to the altar today. You need to be ministered to in some way. We got people assigned today to pray for you. Why just them? Well, today they came early. They prayed. Today they set themselves apart. Today they talked to God before they came and said, I want to minister to your people today. And I know them, and I know that you don't need to be afraid of them, and I know that they're qualified to minister Jesus to you. So it's safe that way for me. But they're going to come right now. I can see them moving right now as I speak. It's not a vision. They're moving. It's amazing. But these people are amazing, and they're going to pray for you. Many people have been ministered to and helped. But I just want to bless you. Those who put your hands up and want that revelation, that was a living, quickened word, wasn't it? It's a living, quickened word. And that word has power. The word that goes forth, it has power to bear fruit in your life. So I'm just going to ask the Lord to press it down. You ready? Heavenly Father, press it down. Take the revelation. Take the word. Let it sink deep in hearts right now. I just rebuke the birds of the air. I rebuke anything that would try to rob that revelation from hearts today. And I pray in Jesus' precious name that it would find good soil, that it would bear much fruit. Thank you that we are mature sons because of the finished work of the cross. I'm not a child of the slave woman. I'm a child of the free woman. And I thank you that you are my God. And I thank you that I am complete, perfect, totally sure, whole, found. I proclaim that over this house, over everyone. Let the mature sons rise up. Mature sons and daughters, let the revelation be quickened to each one. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask you now to bless the house. Thank you for each one here. Love them deeply. And I pray, Father, that your great love will be such a revelation to each one. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your divine counsel and comfort that goes with me every single day. So I commission that to your heart, to your purpose, to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.